Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, a new leaflet has been launched today to provide advice for people with ADHD and for their parents or caregivers about learning to drive with ADHD. For more on this initiative, I'm joined by Professor Des O'Neill, who's the National Programme Director for Traffic Medicine at RCPI. Professor O'Neill, you're very welcome to the programme. I find this intriguing. Why is it necessary to give help with to people with ADHD who want to learn to drive?
Thanks very much, Cormac. Yeah, this is part of a series of leaflets we have among a range of conditions to help people engage with driving, because driving is really an important part of social inclusivity, of getting jobs, and a range of other issues. We know that there is an increased risk of crashes with ADHD, but this shouldn't blind us to supporting and helping people to be able to get to learn to drive. And what we've provided here is information which helps those with ADHD and their parents as how to approach the whole driving scenario, for everything from distractions to communication to warnings around alcohol and medications, but in particular about the importance of complying with the advice from your doctors, and in particular around medications. Mm-hmm. There is an increased crash risk with ADHD, but that crash risk is dramatically reduced virtually to that of the rest of the population by compliance with medical advice and with medication.
And I'm sure that advice is gone through in this leaflet and the best way to go about it. So what is the best way to go about it then? If you do have ADHD and you want to learn to drive, what do you really have to focus on?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing is not to rush it. So the more mature you can be, I think in this instance, is really quite important. So not rushing into it in the first instance. The second thing is to talk to your doctor about it. And, you know, the doctor will work through things like the willingness to communicate and negotiate, willingness to accept constructive criticism, medication effectiveness, and how much they're keeping with medication. And I think this is something where there is a joint work with the between the parents and the person with ADHD. Reduced, then a whole range of things like in their training, reducing restrictions in the car, so no other teenagers in the car, avoiding electronics. Planning ahead can be very helpful. Taking breaks, a tailored treatment plan. Not eating or drinking when they're driving. So it's a range of these things which might seem very common sense, but are actually hugely important supports. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in this, we've been working with a major center in Philadelphia and their children's hospital there. And so this, and it's part of our program in Ireland of trying to balance the responsibility for driving between an informed drivers and public healthcare professionals and the National Driver License.
So this is best international practice as well. In terms of ADHD, Professor, it's an underdiagnosed condition, I believe.
Yes, but it is a minority of young people, and it can extend into adult life. So I think the sort of conditions are, and we've had huge help here from Dr. Blanagh Gavin, for example, a child and adolescent psychiatrist, in developing this. Areas such as, you know, poor judgment, difficulty paying attention, risk-taking, thrill-seeking, those sort of features perhaps might make one think about it. But there does seem to be increasing amounts of attention to it, thankfully, increasing amounts of information. So, you know, bringing it onto the agenda is the important thing, and it's about supporting people, because transport poverty is something we're very aware of in a broader sense in public health.
What do you mean by that now, transport poverty? Because I know there's another impoverishment because of the pandemic. There's a backlog of over 100,000 for tests, driving tests as well. But what do you mean by transport poverty?
Transport poverty is where you don't have a normative level of ability to get about, to get to your job, to get and see, go and see friends. Particularly important, I think, in rural areas, in suburban areas with attenuated public transport. So, look, on the other hand, we're of course keen for people to do active transport and cycle and walk. That's, of course, one element. But the car, whether it's your own or somebody else's, remains a key important part of transport, and it's important to have a kind of a normative access to it.
Okay, it's very interesting indeed. And people might say, what about my condition or my disorder or so on? And you have a whole heap of leaflets of information, don't you, covering
Absolutely.
A huge range of issues?
Diabetes, alcohol, stroke, a whole range. They're on the NDLS website, National Driver Licensing Service website, and they're our own RCPI traffic medicine website. And huge support here from the RSA and the NDLS to have a positive enabling approach to safe mobility on the road.
Yeah, sounds like a great source of information. Professor Des O'Neill, National Programme Director for Traffic Medicine at the RCPI. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Cormac.